Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and welcome to a Sunday service. My name's Vince. I'm one of the pastors here at Calvary. So glad you could join us today. Hang out, whether you are watching online or you're at one of our watch services. It's great to be here and great to be with you in whatever context. Upcoming fun things. We've been doing watch services for all of July. That means you can come live to the building, register in for one of the services, head to calvary.ca/Sunday watch service, and you can register to come live with you, your small group, or family, or that sort of thing. And the exciting news, beginning in August, the demand has been, we're flipping over to 2 watch services so that we can accommodate 100 people, 50 in one service, 50 in another, making sure we're following in with all of the provincial guidelines, but we'd love to see you in the flesh, so make your reservations online and join us. I trust that many of you got to take in the celebration service that happened on Friday. Fantastic. It was a tearjerker, honoring the bishop. And so if you're looking to get in on that because you missed it for whatever reason, just head to calvary.ca and look for the link to watch that after the fact. It's a gooder. So let's just take a second. We'll open in prayer, and then we'll dig in on today's message. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. Lord, we ask that you would give us ears to hear what you have for us today. Lord, we ask for these things in Jesus' name. And as well, Lord, if you have it within you, if you could make my bum smaller, that would be fantastic. Help me not love ice cream so much and reduce the size of my enormous buttocks. That would really be helpful. I thank you. Amen. Sometimes when you're asking God these things, you're like, where are the lines of what is okay to ask? What is okay for me to petition of the Lord? And what's off limits? What are the areas in life that have you so bottled up that you are reaching out, petitioning to our Heavenly Father for results? You see, life is full of twists and turns that leave you calling out these things, calling out this. God, why? Where are you? These petitions are often recorded. We see examples of them in the Psalms where a petition comes out where you are like, God, why? What is going on right now? And that moment where you know in and of yourself you do not have what it takes to take this to the next place, and that desperate reach out, that petitioning of God. I just came off some summer holidays. So fantastic. My wife and I, we sprung this little gem on our kids. We went all through Vancouver Island area, but we sprung on them that we are going to go and do some bike riding trips. Now, you might be a bike riding family and a lover of biking. This was a shock to most of our systems. My wife has been biking to work at the hospital there, and my son bikes around to his friend's house. But for the most part, I know it doesn't show, but I'm not an avid biker. So when it came up to do these trips, we were hitting it harder than any of us were anticipating. And at any given point, 40% of us were hating what we were doing. These bike trips took us to exciting places. We made sure to have opportunities to head up. We went to these places like the Kinsel Trestle on Vancouver Island. We'd always try to provide something, some sort of destination. But along the way, when your legs are burning and you're looking at another hill and you just want it all to end, you end up crying out, God, why did I do this? My God, what happened? Why am I here? What's going on with this moment that I put myself either in this situation or this is the results of other people's choices. My God, why? Where are you? Why? We would always like to make sure that we had a little something at the end to bike towards, so that when you're petitioning, you knew that there was a reward at the end. This is my daughter, Emma. She just turned 17 on Thursday. Very excited. A happy birthday to you, sweetheart. So if you are a young man and you are 17 or graduating and you're looking for a date, you're going to need to wait. I'm a fan of graduate and date. That's just kind of one of my, you know, it's not off limits, but I very much encourage graduate and date. This has nothing to do with my message. This is just a little aside of life, just so that you don't have yourself end in hurt or heartache or have your heart trampled or in other ways torn out. I say that, but I also say this. If you're a young man, 17, and graduating through, and you have a boat or a cabin, or your family has a boat or a cabin, I'll see what I can do to connect you up with Emma, because I can't ski behind teenage love, but I can ski behind a boat. And so if you have either of those things, you let me know, vince@calvary.ca, and we'll see what we can get arranged there. Having a reward at the end, or having some promise of what's to come, is sometimes all it takes to push you through that extra bit into a petition. Today's message takes us to 2 Samuel 13. We're in the Psalm series, the Psalms of Petition. But in order to understand the Psalms of Petition, I got to lay some groundwork for you. So I want to take us to 2 Samuel 13. It's not part on the notes. I'm going to take us from there into Psalm 13. This is the story of Absalom and David. You see, one of David's sons, Absalom's brother, Amnon, he had a thing for their sister. And this is a creepy, weird Bible story, and so just be prepared, get your creepiness on, but it's a family channel, family church, and so I will speak in code so that it's not weird. Amnon wanted to have a little nap with his sister. And she is entirely disinterested in napping. In fact, she's not drowsy at all. She is not into what's happening. But he forces himself that they're going to have nap time. And so, not good situation. Absalom finds out about this. He loses his mind, is crazy frustrated. David, King David, finds out about this. Just enraged that this is what has happened. You see, you've got this scenario painted where Tamar, the sister, disinterested in napping and is forced to go through this terrible plight. Disgusting. You have one of his sons who's the perpetrator in this. David's heart is wrecked. You've got a brother bystanding this whole thing to find out about it later, devastated that, one, this has happened to his sister, a beloved family member, and then enraged, frustrated at his brother for having done this, but also frustrated in his father for not doing anything about it. You say, well, whose place was it to do what in this story? I'm trying to paint this picture for you of where David's heart was. He loves his daughter. He loves his kids. His kids have made this terrible situation. And Amnon knows, my dad's going to do nothing. He's going to do nothing. And so I'm going to pick up the cause myself. And so later on, as the story progresses, he invites his brother out to an event and has his brother killed. So Absalom has now been responsible for the death of his brother. He takes in his sister so she has a place to live and is not in disgrace. All of this has gone on, But this is a story about David and Absalom. You see, where things kind of start to go haywire is you can imagine the rage, you can imagine the heartache of this father who wants to do right by everyone, but is paralyzed and does nothing. He does nothing. Introduce Psalm 13. Now, the theologian Theodoret of Cyrus, a fifth century theologian, says that Psalm 13, he theorizes Psalm 13 is about this point in David's life where Absalom knows that his dad's going to do nothing as the story progresses with Absalom. Absalom comes to this place where my dad's not going to do anything. He comes back into the kingdom. He overthrows his father, inserting himself. Tell everybody I'm king now. Because he knows his dad isn't going to do anything about it. Finally, in the end, Absalom is killed by one of the military leaders of David. So David goes from this place where he didn't act. He loses one son, loses hundreds of men in these fights, then loses a second son because of inaction. And this brings us to this place of Psalm 13. You see, the Psalm Summer Series is all about this being at the what do we find out from the writings deep inside the Psalms? And in Psalm 13, we find this heart of David. It says direct for the director of music, a Psalm of David, Psalm 13, where David is just feeling it. And Psalm 13 says this: How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes. Bring me hope. Or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. You see, the arc of reach of this story in Psalm 13 is a collision of feelings and faith. How long, Lord? I can bring up something, you know, trivial, like having the leg burn while you're doing a bicycle trip. Absolutely, with absolute certainty, 100%, you have faced tasks, difficult decisions, things in life that are much more pressing than burning thighs. And you ask, how long, Lord? How long will you forget about this? How long will you forget about me? The rawness of emotion. And so sometimes people view things as disrespectful when, like, you know, you're speaking with the Lord. And I believe in respecting the Lord and respecting the Lord's authority and his preeminence and all these things. I'm in. But there's no hiding by kind words. When your heart is broken, when something is going through your life, Lord, why? And sometimes I was just at a home visiting a couple this week, and the question came up regarding a situation. Why do you think this happened? And there is no answer. On this particular occasion, this is answerless. How long, Lord? Why, Lord? I don't understand all of the Lord's ways in moving. But having that rawness inside of your heart that says, God, why? What's going on? You see, the lead-in through this Psalm 13 over that first half of it is God. What's going on, man? What's going on with my family? What's going on with my son? Why is he engaged in these things? What's going on with my daughter and this relationship? Well, what's going on at my workplace? Where's my certainty? What's happening with my spouse? What's going on with this family member? Why did this happen? And beating oneself to death over an impossible scenario is that pattern in the Psalms. We see Psalm 13. We see it carried through in Psalm 22, Psalm 74. This pattern of, my God, why? What is happening? And the arc always ends with this. God, I see these things going on. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But the arc ends with, but I trust. But I trust. You see, when you're in the depths of a challenging time, and challenges happen, the devastating things that, you know, everybody's kind of walking through their own little world, and devastating things are happening. But I trust. You see what happens in that situation. I teased with an opening prayer that talks about my large posterior. But when you look back and you go, well, guess that didn't work. We start saying things, oh, God is dead, or Christianity is a sham, or Jesus doesn't care. There's other factors that go into God's will than just my words, my despair, my heartache. But I trust. I put my trust in you, Jesus. I put my trust in you, Lord, that you know the beginning from the end, everything that's going around. There's nothing that slips by that doesn't capture you, that you just slipped your memory or you didn't see. And putting myself at a place of, but I trust, allows you the privilege to get, God, what's going on? This thing is above me. It's beyond me. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to handle it. But I trust. It doesn't end with, well, I didn't see it right away. God's dead. This didn't. Jesus doesn't care. Christianity is a sham. Dig in. Dig in with, but I trust. I trust. But I trust. We're going through some old movies with the kids, and you know, I've got all teens. And so having, you start going through the archives, and we pull out the Forrest Gump. And along in the Forrest Gump, you know, a simple man, but he runs in through his tour in Vietnam. And he's in Vietnam, and his lieutenant, Lieutenant Dan, comes from a long line of war heroes, and it's Lieutenant Dan's turn to be the war hero. And he's in Vietnam with Forrest Gump and is attacked in the situation and returning fire, and all of this is going on. And as the situation unfolds, he ends up having his legs destroyed so that he has no more limbs. His legs are gone. And so Forrest grabs him and carries him off and ends up saving his life. But Lieutenant Dan is at this place of, why, God? We see him throwing his life away to alcohol. We see him throwing his life into promiscuous living. Nonstop drinking and naps are where Lieutenant Dan is taking his life. And finally, he comes to a place where he's with Forrest. They're on a shrimp boat. And Lieutenant Dan, they're going through this crazy storm, and he's at the top mast. And he's like, okay, God, is this the best you got? Because I'm not coming down here without like this engagement with you. And he's fighting, he's wrestling, he's arguing with God. And at the end, when the storm's over and things start turning around in life, he finds himself at a place of peace. How long, Lord, will I go along legless? How long will I go filling my heart with things that are empty? How long will this pain go on? And the answer came, but I trust. But I trust. I empathize with whatever, wherever you're at, whatever's going on in life. it is not always smooth sailing. If you're a young person today, sometimes parents are challenging. I get that. If you're a parent today, sometimes I realize that you might be stuck in the middle of your aging parents or younger ones who you're stuck sandwiched in the middle of one challenge after another. I'm not saying my life is full of or trouble-free, but I do have this going for me. But I trust, and I extend that invitation to you, that trust, that place of hope, of confidence in Jesus, that there's a better tomorrow, is there waiting for you. But I prayed. That didn't work. I guess God's dead, Christianity is a sham, and Jesus doesn't care. Hang on. Hang on for that answer. Hang on for that healing. Hang on. Have hope. Just have that knowledge that there is something greater than whatever is going on in your circumstances. But I trust. That's where the arc ends. But I trust. Don't give up and keep plodding along. I was working through in a challenge. Hopefully, this last little bit here will provide a little bit of help as you're walking through. I came across Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Here's a little bit of theology and biblical work for you. The scripture is taken in its entirety. 66 individual books that have one narrative. You can't take that one verse and just peel it out in and of itself, because there's complementing verses. You must use the whole scripture. The Bible exists as a package. It's not an individual one-off. There's another couple twists to that. So all I have to do is ask in prayer. That's what I need to do. Believe you've received it and it will be yours. There's a couple of adjustments in that. John 15:7. We could bring that. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You see that one scripture with Mark 11:24, just ask me in prayer. It's part of it, but it's not the whole picture. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, that's why I think the value of things like home group, learning your Bible study, doing your daily devotions, just these little simple things that will keep your heart full. My word abides in you, and whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. 1 John 5:14 to 15 says this: if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I know why my butt gets big. It's because I love ice cream. It's delicious. Praying for a smaller butt doesn't get the job done. I gotta stop eating ice cream. But it's delicious. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. James 4, 2 and 3 says this: you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. You see, there's more to this package of I just say the words and God jumps down. I'm going through trouble and God fixes everything. There's more to it than that. Here's a picture of my hot wife surfing. Okay, part of our summer vacation, we got up to Tofino and did some family surfing. And she looks amazing inside of that black wetsuit. I know it's fantastic. People ask me, you must love kids. You have so many kids. I love my wife. That's why I have so many kids. So she's as hot as hot, but you just need to dial it down there 20% Squirrely Dan. So she's going through it surfing. This is part of it. This is part of it. You see, on your surfing, you got to pop up on that board, get your weight in the right spot. You know, whole family surfing, my little picture for you. Got to get in that right spot, balance yourself right, and you can ride a wave through. That's not the only thing. When we're going through, when we did in surfing lessons in 2018, this was just this last summer, but in 2018 when we went through and did these surfing lessons, there's things like, don't turn your back on the ocean. Well, why don't you turn your back on the ocean? Because if something comes up from behind you, not like a shark or nothing, but just like a mother wave and picks you up and tosses you around like a rag doll, don't turn your back on the ocean. There's other lessons like, be mindful of riptides. Things that'll suck you out to the ocean like that. So there's more to the package than just ask and it comes. Lord, where are you? Sometimes there's some simpler other things along the way. I was listening through this week to the band U2. They did a song called Psalm. They call it 40, but it's from Psalm 40 with a little Psalm 13 mashup in there. It's how long will we sing this song? How long? How long, God, will I go through my circumstance? Friend, I got to tell you, I got a couple quick things to encourage you along the way. You see, the petition, how long, Lord? How long will I be required to endure this? How long? Where's the ending, man? Here's a couple things I encourage you to ask yourself. Like David, are you doing nothing? Doing nothing cost him severely in this particular one. You say, well, I don't want to jump in and without thinking about, well, of course, seeking the will of God, but often doing nothing and expecting the amazing is not how life works. That's just my experiences, so. Take that for what you will. Are your motives correct? Are you asking amiss? Is this just about you and what's best for you? You see, sometimes when we're us, just our one focus goal, like in that surfing, and you're forgetting what's going on around you, you're a danger to the people around you. You're a danger. It's not just about you and what's happening in your world. Surfing is to be enjoyed, but there's some rules and things to follow along with it. What are your motives? You making sure you're taking in all the pieces? Or are you just viewing it from just your perspective? Why does God do some things? Why is this person healed? Why is this person not? I can't ripple out the effects of the knot. I don't know what that person was spared. I don't know where God's mercy was involved with that. I just know that I will trust him. And finally, are we aligned with Jesus' will? What is the will of God? You just keep pressing in. You keep pressing in, Lord, what do you have for me? How long will I go through this? Is there something I need to correct? Am I to sit back and do nothing? Would you have me engage in some sort of way that would be helpful to the situation? What do you have for me? You see, these pressing ins are the psalm of petition, your song of asking, your request of the Lord. And you must end your arc with this. I will trust, but I trust. Regardless of this, regardless of what's going around, regardless of the tempest, regardless of the storm behind you, in front of you, whatever you're going through, promise yourself, but I will trust. Let me pray for you this morning. Jesus, I thank you for all of my friends, both here at Watch Service and as well who are enjoying online. Lord, for each one, we ask to be at the center of your perfect will. Help us trust you more and more. Help us find that direction that you have for us. Lord, help us not turn our motive just looking from our perspectives. Help us see the broader kingdom picture. Lord, we trust you. We put our whole hope in you, and we know you'll never fail. We thank you for this. Encourage each one who might be feeling a little down about their circumstance. Lord, put someone in their path to build them up. We believe for good things. Lord, not because we deserve it or because we're awesome, but because you give good gifts to your kids and you're a loving God. We ask all of these mercies and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. As you've been blessed, get out there and be a blessing to somebody else. Have a good one.